Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, yeah. Are you Natch-butin? Whoa! Hello and welcome to Natch-butin. Welcome to Natch-butin, the beauty comedy podcast where we laugh, we cry, and we cream. I'm your host and your guy, Jackie J, a.k.a. the Beauty Talk Shock Jack, your queen of creams, the host with the most serums, the freshest friends on the West Coast, your favorite over 30 niche influencer, your kooky southern aunt. I'm creaming while the baby is screaming. Welcome to Natch-butin. Oh, my guest today. Now, listen, I swear I said to y'all, I'm not going to make this a baby podcast after I have a kid. I'm not going to make it a mommy show. I'm not going to make it a baby show. I'm not. But I can't help it. I got babies on the brains. I got birth on the brains. And y'all, the response to my birth content was so vast that I said, I'm going to just keep giving it to y'all because we're all out there trying to figure this thing out. And my guest today has delivered over 1,000 babies. Can you even imagine? I had one baby and I'm like, how the heck did I get through that? She's delivered over 1,000. Board certified practicing OBGYN and mother of two. So she's also had two come out of her body. Her passion in life is to empower moms to feel supported and prepared for their pregnancy and their birth. Her life's work is devoted to this, demystifying childbirth by sharing knowledge and mindsets. Honey, she, like I said, practicing OB, but also hosts an amazing podcast called the All About Pregnancy and Birth Podcast. So, honey, it's in the title. Everything you could ever need to know. She covers it all. Birth stories, birth education. She's coming up with 200 episodes like me. She's been doing this a long time. She's got a lot to say. And I am going to take this hour and be a little selfish, greedy piggy and just ask her everything I want to know about my own birth and other things I want to discuss. So please welcome to Natch-butin, Dr. Nicole Rankins. Hello, Dr. Rankins.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I am so thrilled to have you here. I listened to your birth story and Yeah, girl. Yeah, I listened.
Honey, she did the research. And she, like I said, she could be delivering a child right now, but instead she's wasting her time with me and I'm honored.
I'm not wasting. It's good time. It's good time. And I have to tell you, at various times I was laughing. I was lovely. Thank you for sharing it. Oh. And I'm going to have you on my podcast.
Yes,
to share
it. I'm going to retell it on your show. And now that I've told it a few times, I've gotten really good at it. So don't worry, you're going to get the A material. You're going to get a better, even better than how I did, Dr. Rankins. Yeah. It's going to be like a fresh take. So everybody check that out. I have to ask you the opening questions everybody gets on Natch-butin, Dr. Rankins, and we're going to discuss your self-care, but we're also going to discuss your expertise. But first, I must know, what type of skin do you have?
Oh, I don't... That's a good question. Beautiful? Is that an answer?
It sure is, and I can agree. I'm looking right at you.
Thank you.
Looking fresh.
I must say, I've been blessed with great skin. I think it's great genes, I think. I mean, I just turned 48, and I feel like I'm looking pretty good. Did you see how you did that? You see that? Yeah.
I gasped audibly off my... listen, I'm trying to not be so like, this woman looks great for her age, quote unquote, things like that, but...
I do.
I would have thought you were 30, and I'm not even blowing smoke.
Yeah.
So the skin is good, and you're saying it's the DNA.
I'm like low key. Like I'm not into really dramatic routine. Yes. I have a simple like wash. If I'm not out and about, I typically am not wearing makeup, so I don't wear a lot of makeup. I have like a 5-second makeup routine when I do wear makeup. So I don't know if that answers your
question. She's Natch and she's fresh, and what she's using you can't get in a jar is basically what you're saying.
I mean, kind of.
And that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
We'll just aspire to be you and do everything we can. Okay, next question. And this is exciting. This is a get to know you question. Dr. Rankins, take me back. The first beauty product that you ever bought or used, do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was Noxzema.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a very common answer on this show. Mm-hmm.
It was Noxzema. And that stuff burned up my whole face.
Yeah. It's, I'm really troubled by how, what's in it. It's like a menthol. It's something. And I think they still sell it.
Really?
I don't know. I can't, don't quote me, but.
Yeah, it was Noxzema.
Yeah. Same.
Now I use Olay products, which is pretty low key. I mean, it seems to work for me. I found something that works. I use the old lady versions, the red jar stuff. And so that seems to work for me. But yeah, that was the first, Noxzema.
Okay, excellent. This question, everyone gets a random bonus question. And yours is, what are some of the most common baby names that you're seeing right now in your work? Because is there a name that seems to be coming up more regularly for you?
Not really, honestly. Yeah. I don't. I think people are going for more traditional names, it seems like. Like the most recent baby was Charlotte.
Okay, yep. So, very popular.
Yep, I had a Margaret not that long ago.
That's so cute. Seems like
more traditional kind of names.
When was the last time you delivered a baby?
Day before yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
Like I did a couple like within 15 minutes of each other. Like
goodness.
It was like, hey, catch this one, run to the other
one. Yeah.
Did the other one. Yeah.
Wow. I'm telling you, y'all are so chill about it. I remember I would meet with my OB in the morning and I'd be like, how many babies have you delivered today? And she'd be like, three. Just like scanning me, and I'm like, this is like a barista making coffee. It's just, this is what you do.
It is what I do, but it never gets old. Like the excitement in the room never gets old. The day it gets old, I need to stop. But it's, it never gets old.
Wow. So powerful. Okay, the last warm-up question I have for you. This is Natribute. We celebrate our natural beauty here. What is the most beautiful thing about you?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that because I'm very comfortable like being myself, like what you see is what you get. I'm my authentic self. I show up as who I am, wherever I am. I've gotten to the point where I'm super comfortable with that. So that feels really good to me.
Fabulous answer. Yeah. She's self-assured, honey, and she knows it.
Absolutely.
Powerful. Okay.
Yep.
I have to start just with the basic question of when you chose to go into this profession, what made you do that? Because, honey, the schedule is unpredictable and brutal. And it's such deeply important, intimate, emotional work. I don't know. I know a lot. All medical professions are to an extent. But oh, my goodness. What made you, when you were deciding, I want to be a doctor, and then specifically, I want to be an OB. Is it, by the way, is it OB-GYN or OB-GYN? Because my doctor said OB-GYN the other day, and I was like, oops.
Yeah, no, either one is totally fine. Yeah, either one is fine. So yeah, I went to medical school. So let me back up a little bit and say, like, I actually majored in mathematics and mechanical engineering in college. And then the reason I went to medical school is, I know it sounds crazy, but I looked in a mirror one day and I saw myself wearing a white coat. Mm-hmm. And then from there, like the seed got planted, like I want to be a doctor.
She had a vision.
I had a vision. So always kind of like followed the things and try to be in tune with, you know, follow the leads of the crumbs that are dropped in front of you for your life and advice and things like that. So went to medical school, and then I knew I wanted to do something with my hands because I like procedure stuff. And I knew that I wanted to take care of women. Like I knew I wanted to do those two things. So I thought initially maybe about general surgery, like surgery with a concentration in breast surgery. Mm-hmm. But to do general surgery, I would have had to take care of men. And I hate men patients. Girl, they were
because they're weak. Because
I kept getting like hit on and stuff that, and I was like, I don't have time for that. Am I allowed to say what my children say? Adult language on your okay? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't have time for this shit. Like, I can't do this. So
I don't have time for men.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm happily married to a man and all of that good great stuff, but just wasn't right for me. So initially, I was like, OBGYN, yes. And actually, initially, I thought I was gonna be a GYN cancer specialist, actually, because they do the most surgery and operating. But I did like a 180 flip. I'm on the other spectrum. And now I help bring life into the world. And I love it.
Oh, gosh, that is so beautiful. I was amazed when I started doing all my prep for my birth, all of the amazing things that our bodies, women's bodies, do to prepare for a birth.
Yep.
It is wild, all the things. Number one, we create an organ out of scratch.
Yes.
Grow
yes,
a human.
Yes.
Could you maybe give us a couple of those amazing things that our body does?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think the placenta is one of the most amazing organs that exists. Like, we create this whole organ and it nourishes a baby. It takes all of the waste away, does all of the oxygen, it filters things, and it keeps you from attacking your baby as something foreign. Like, that's why you can do something like, if you have a pregnancy that's with a donor egg or donor sperm, you can have something growing inside of you that is completely not genetically related to you because of the placenta. It's the only time you can have something in you. Like, if you got a kidney transplant, it has to be similar, that kind of thing. But with a whole, with a human, it can be whatever genetic material because of the placenta and how it protects you. I think that's so cool and fascinating.
Should I have eaten my placenta?
You know, I go back and forth on this.
I didn't eat it.
Some people encapsulate it, like turn it into pills, ground it up. There's like anecdotal evidence that it helps with depression and helps you feel better. There are not a lot of good studies, but that's because it's just something. It just hasn't been studied. So we just don't have a lot of data one way or the other. So I tell people, if it's something you want to do, just make sure you have somebody who knows what they're doing when they process it. Like, do it in a clean way. They're not like mixing your placenta with three other stuff like that. So if that's something you want to do, just make sure you do it safely. But, you know, to each person, their own. I support people in making decisions that work for them as long as they have the right evidence to do so.
Yes.
So yes, the placenta is like amazing to me in pregnancy. And then I just think the amount of the other thing that's always fascinated me, or is like amazing, people don't understand the amount of increased blood flow that goes to the uterus.
Okay.
Like, like a soda bottle, a half a liter of blood is going through your uterus every minute.
And roughly. Your body makes new blood, right?
Makes new blood to help support this human being. It's like all of the physiology changes. Your hips open a little bit, your joints relax a little bit, all of these things. And then the third thing I'll say is right after the baby is born, the uterus literally shrinks down to like, shoot, like automatically, just like in order to keep you from bleeding. Like, it cuts off the blood supply by shrinking. The way that it shrinks almost immediately is just like fascinating to me. So those are my nerdy things that I'm always like,
ooh. It's incredible. And these are things that you don't really think about, but they're happening inside of you as your little factory here.
Yep.
It's really wild. So many things. And man, that placenta. Women are powerful. People with uteruses are powerful.
Absolutely.
We created an organ.
Create a whole organ.
Who can say they did that? Okay.
Yes. And pregnancy just changes. I don't know. Like, some people, like for me personally, I'm always cold. Like, I usually have a sweater on. For some reason, when I was pregnant, I was hot as hell. Like, I was walking around in like t-shirts all the time.
The oven was cooking.
Things change. So it's just all of the things that happen. Yes, we are powerful. It's amazing to grow a whole entire human being inside of your body.
It is wild. I will never get over it, especially now looking at my child who's 4.5 months old. And I'm like, wow, I made that. That little face, that little nose, that little body, like, I made that. No one can ever say I'm lazy again.
No, absolutely not.
No.
No, that's a lie.
Okay, Dr. Rankins, I want to talk to you about age and how age affects pregnancy.
Yes.
Because I feel, and I hear this from so many people all the time, I'm 30. Oh, I'm old now. Right. I can't have a kid. Right. And that is something that, for some reason, us millennials were all told and all really hammered in.
Yeah.
Now, I'm 37, and I just had a kid. And as far as I can tell, my fertility was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the truth. Yes. So fertility, women, we are born with all of the eggs that we are going to have when
Isn't
we are
Isn't that wild?
Born. Yeah, I know. That is crazy. It's
so
like
we made the eggs, too. Mm-hmm. Mommies make the eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like millions of them in there. And yes, as you get older, as we get older, the eggs get older. So the quality of the eggs decreases. So yes, after 35, it can be harder to get pregnant. After 40, it's definitely harder to get pregnant. However, once you get pregnant, most likely things are going to be fine. Like there's a slightly increased risk of things happening, but even into the 40s, women have healthy, uncomplicated pregnancies, or even if they have minor complications, most often things are going to turn out well. So know that, yes, it may be more challenging to get pregnant. That is true. There is an expiration date, so to speak. But once you get pregnant, most likely you will be healthy and have an uncomplicated pregnancy or minimal complications that can be managed effectively.
And when you say harder to get pregnant, it can be extremely easy to get pregnant when you're a teenager, right? Like just so it can still work well into 100%, your
30s. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I usually say over 35, if it takes you more than 6 months to get pregnant, then you should go see somebody and say, hey, let's just make sure everything is okay.
Yeah.
So over 6 months. But there are plenty of people who pop up surprise pregnancy. I mean, my own mother, she had me when she was 36 and then a surprise pregnancy right after that. My sister was born when she was 37.
Okay.
So, you know,
I'm glad you brought this up because I've been told by many person that once the factory is hot, it's hot, and to be extra careful.
Listen, if the only way to not get pregnant is to not have a uterus or stop having sex, because it's possible. I had a teacher once, and I remember this story. She was like in her 40s, like my high school calculus teacher, and her doctors thought she had like a tumor growing, and that tumor was a baby.
Oh, wow.
Like she got, might have an aunt who randomly got pregnant in her 40s. So yes, it can happen.
Yeah. All right. That's a good reminder for me. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to go back on hormonal birth control.
Yeah.
But I don't want a damn baby either.
Well, girl, you better do something because.
Yeah. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
There you go.
Okay. I would love to just ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Is all birth traumatic?
I mean.
The reason I'm asking is because. Yeah. 4.5 months out, I'm just now starting to really process the trauma of my birth. If mm-hmm. you listen to my birth story, you know mm-hmm. my baby was OP. My baby mm-hmm. was sunny side up. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, why didn't my baby turn around? Why didn't they try to turn him around? Did they know? Why didn't they know?
Right.
I feel, and many, many women say this, I was robbed of the experience that I wanted. That And so many women have that for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Barely anyone I've talked to. Now, you've delivered over 1,000 babies. But mm-hmm. they say, I wanted this. I wanted this. I didn't get this. This happened. And then you start to grieve it. And then you start to feel weird about it. And she just. And then I was talking to my physical therapist. And she just said, your body goes through trauma. It's trauma to your body. And I'm like, well, then that's trauma. Trauma is trauma. So, Dr. Reng, is all birth traumatic?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, it's a big process, a baby coming out of your body,
yes.
whether it's through your vagina or whether it's through a C-section. Both of those are very big deals and everybody experiences them in different ways. So, you know, some people may interpret their experience as traumatic. Some people don't. Like for my first C-section, I had two C-sections. Mm-hmm. The first one was without adequate anesthesia, so I felt it when they cut me open and was doing the surgery.
Oh,
that was
that.
Yeah, that was bad. So yeah, that was traumatic.
And
so,
you're a doctor, and you're like, "Excuse me, excuse
so
me."
I knew exactly what was going on, and I was like, but then I was like, "Am I crazy? Was I being dramatic? Did I imagine this?" Until
see,
I had this.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
see,
yeah,
you process it after the fact.
Afterward, yes. So I think that I don't know if there's a yes or no answer to that. What I can say, birth is 100% is unpredictable.
Yeah.
You cannot predict. None of us can predict. If your doctor says, oh, yeah, we'll just induce you and you'll have your baby by this. They don't know nothing. They don't know shit. Like nobody can. It's like the only person who knows and is in control is the baby. They don't tell us exactly what they're doing in there. So you just, it is unpredictable. That is what birth is for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just starting to feel really bitter about it. I sent my doula a text the other day, not in any like blaming way, but I was like, mm-hmm. why didn't they try to turn him?
Yeah. So sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. Not everybody feels comfortable trying to turn.
Right. That's what she said.
Okay.
She said mm-hmm. they didn't know how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know how?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I will at least try. You have to. And honestly, you get in there, you have to get your hand around the head and literally like literally turn the baby around. So, and often actually most babies will turn on their own.
Right.
In the course of labor. So not everybody feels comfortable. And again, most of them will turn. And some people push out OP babies. Like it happens.
Yeah.
So they come out that way.
I pushed him out. My doula basically said to me, he wasn't going to turn. He would have turned if he was going to.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it was. It's just the way it shaped up.
Yeah. And we cannot predict that. Like nobody could have told you ahead of time and nobody could tell you he's going to turn, he's not going to turn. We have to, in many ways with birth, we should plan, we should educate ourselves, but we also have to deal with what we're given.
Yes.
What we're given is what we're given sometimes.
And the relinquish of the control is the ultimate lesson, which will lend itself to parenthood for the rest of your life.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious, Dr. Rankins, if you know off the top of your head the most common questions and concerns that pregnant patients ask you. What is it that you hear over and over and over again?
1,000% is, when am I going to have the baby? Like, yeah. When am I going to go into labor? I'm like, girl, if I knew that, I would put a patent on that thing and sell it, because people would be paying all kinds of money if I could tell you it's going to be on Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
There's literally no rhyme or reason to any of the signs, quote unquote, anything. Yes.
The baby's going to come when the baby comes. And sometimes some babies don't want to come and we have to help them come. So yeah, that would be by far the most common question that in the end of pregnancy. Yes. I would say in the beginning, I'm feeling this. Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Is it, you know, my arms are up or down, like all kinds of things where people try to predict a gender. Now we have those early genetic tests that can tell people if they want to know early, but that would be over the course of my career, the most common one.
Right. You
know? But definitely like, when is the baby coming? When is the baby going to be here? Because due date is a lie. Right?
Yes.
Like most babies are not born on their due date. We should stop saying due date. We should probably say like due week.
Due month even.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I hope everybody takes that to heart, because it's so difficult. I remember on my due date, I was just like, why is it the baby?
I always, it's like, I call it, I'm ready to have my baby blues. Like it is time for this child to be evicted from my body.
Yes.
It is time.
Serve the papers, pack the bags,
get out, which is a totally normal feeling. After a while, it's just like, I'm ready. Yeah.
Well, the end is almost worse than the beginning, because I was super sick, but the end, you're just so anxious and uncomfortable. But now looking back, having a kid's a lot is really hard. So staying there as long as as you let him, baby, let that baby just cook and you sit back. You don't have to take care of a baby and you can sleep and rest. So just
But Jackie, like, it's so much that you don't know until you experience it, right? Like just, even I'm an OB. My first daughter was a preemie. She was born 8 weeks early. And she's
so
totally
tiny.
She was tiny. She weighed 3 pounds, 7 ounces. She had a rare intestinal malformation that happens in 1 in 10,000 pregnancies. So of course it happened to me. Where her intestines weren't connected. So she had surgery after she was born, all of that. Anyway, I say all that to say, like, the doctors would be like, oh, you're a doctor, you know what you're doing. I was like, I don't know what the hell. I never had a baby before. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So you just don't know until you know. You also know, I want to say, you figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, you really do figure things out, and you don't kill your child, and you figure things out.
I'm telling you, and that's again because women are strong, and mm-hmm. that's just what we do. We figure shit out.
Yep. You figure it out.
So yeah. I have here a question for you that says, anecdotally, is there mm-hmm. anything we can really do to induce labor? But you're saying no.
Well, okay. So I personally think castor oil can work. Like mm-hmm. I've seen that work. It tastes disgusting. And you just,
and it gives you diarrhea, right?
Yeah. We think that maybe because of the way that the diarrhea stimulates your intestines are near your uterus and it gets things rolling. So maybe castor oil could help. Sex may or may not help. It's not going to hurt.
Yeah. Well, that's how my mucus plug came out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not castor oil. The other thing.
Yeah.
But then I had diarrhea as soon as I went into labor. It was Dumb and Dumber. It was horrible. Yeah.
You said it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so,
I mean, a little diarrhea never hurt anybody.
It wasn't fun. Yeah, it's not fun.
Is it true? Now, my sister is not a doctor. She says mm-hmm. that's your body's way of getting everything out of the way so you don't shit on your baby. Is that true?
It is a way to like empty things out. So yes, when you're pushing, although people push and shit at the same time, like that happens all the time. Like some people are so paranoid about,
I asked after every push.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you asked after every push. No, it was.
Yes. Same. No. I,
okay.
By the way, I haven't revealed this to Nash Butte yet, but I saw my OB for my post-op appointment and she said, I am now a quote unquote legend on the labor and delivery floor because I literally every push I screamed, is my pussy okay?
Yes.
Every doctor, every nurse, they're all like, hey, you had that crazy lady that was obsessed with her pussy. So everybody just, you don't know. I was in a state, doc. I was in a state.
It's a whole nother mental space.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. It was wild. Mm-hmm. 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 So, okay, castor oil, but proceed with caution.
Yeah, proceed with caution because it can give you diarrhea. Yeah.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. listen, we'll see. Okay, my next question.
Oh, and there's also, there's something called like a midwife's brew that I've heard works. It's a combination of herbs, but I'm not sure what they are. Okay. But I've heard some people say that works too.
Okay. Yeah. Who mm-hmm. knows? I just think these babies decide when they want to come out.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Rankins, you've delivered over 1,000 babies. That is so many.
It is a lot.
Do you have any births that stand out to you out of that 1,000? I was like, there has to be something that's happened that makes them less generic from the rest.
Okay, so a couple I shouldn't laugh at this because it's actually pretty terrible. Where this guy, I was like, bruh, you look real familiar. Like, I feel like I've seen you before.
Oh, no.
And he was like, yeah, doc, I was here a couple of days ago with my other girl who was having her baby. And I'm like,
was it Nick Cannon?
Listen, he is the most fertile.
And he has multiple sets of twins. If I ever go to see The Masked Singer recorded, I'm going to wear a condom on the outside of my clothes. Like, I got to be careful.
You have to. Because I'm like, what is it? Like, is it that good, y'all, that y'all keep getting on this? Like, is it really that good?
Right.
Because y'all keep... Everybody keeps getting the piece, apparently. But anyway, so that was an interesting story.
That is so funny.
Yeah. And then let me see, what else?
And did she know about the other one? Do you know?
No.
Oh, wow.
Not to my knowledge. No. And then I think, honestly, it doesn't surprise me so much anymore. But women, there are various reactions that mm-hmm. people have. Like some mm-hmm. people scream. Some people cuss like nobody's business. Not that long ago, I had a patient. She had pushed a long time, but had a vaginal birth. And as soon as the baby came out, she looked at the baby. She said, "You little shit." Because it just was such a long labor. And it was, I know it sounds great, but it was very loving. Like, she was very happy. She was just, it was just like, you little shit. It took forever for you to get here. So, yeah, everybody's reaction can kind of vary. Sometimes it's like nice, calm, dim light. Sometimes it's like you got to get angry and mad and all of that kind of stuff. So
I remember it was the night before I gave birth and I was in the hospital and I heard a woman giving birth in the room across from me and she was like guttural screaming.
Yeah.
And I was like terrified.
Yeah. I didn't have
the energy to scream.
Yeah.
I had been pushing for so long and I'd been awake for so long, but I get it. Cause if you kind of need to like mount that energy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had your ears blown out by like a screaming woman. Yeah.
100%. 100%. I've been cussed out. It's all fine. Like, I'm like, it's fine. It's totally
get this
normal.
Baby
totally
out of me. Yeah.
Get this fucking baby out of me. But I've never had anybody kick me. I've never had anybody like try and attack me.
Okay.
I did definitely a couple babies come out in the bathroom. That's happened.
Oh wow.
Before. Stand up and like bloop, baby comes out. You just go with the flow.
Wow. I really admire your profession so much more than I did before, but all doctors, all medical people, but really you're doing the Lord's work.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing
the Lord's work. Thank you.
I know it can maybe be a little thankless at times.
It can't. I can genuinely say that I don't have a lot of people who are like mean or nasty and I would like to think that's because I really do my best to center that person in their experience and make sure we all work around that. That was a process for me. Like I wasn't always when I first started where I should be. And like, I would roll my eyes at birth plans and things like that, just because that was the way I was taught,
right.
Which is so wrong. Now I teach people how to write a birth plan, but now I would like to think that it's because I really try and center folks. So I don't have a lot of knock on wood horror stories of people being evil or
that's,
I mean, great. I did have one dad that did kind of get a little iffy with me. And I was like, you know what? I may be Dr. Rankins, but I was born Nicole. And if you keep it up, then so
Nicole will come out.
Nicole
and you don't want Nicole out.
That's not who you want. So, but other than that, it's mostly been pretty like enjoyable and I love it. Yeah.
I love that you say that your practice has shifted, evolved to what other people are now wanting and discussing. And that's something I would love to ask you about, ways to make a hospital birth feel less hospitally, more intimate, more personal.
Yes.
And ways that we can communicate that with our doctor.
Yes, 100%. So unfortunately, birth in the U.S., so it used to be really midwives did it. And then doctors came in and systematically told a bunch of lies about midwives, called them dirty, all kinds of things to try to get birth in the hospital. And then it became very sterile, medicalized when it's a condition. Like pregnancy is not a medical disease. Mm-hmm. It's a normal part of life. Yes, problems can occur, but we need to approach it as like a normal thing. So I encourage folks to think about what is it that you want for your experience? You know, do you want low intervention? Do you want like nice dim lights in the room? Do you want music playing? You can have essential oils if you want. You can limit your cervical exams if you want to. Know that you have the power and the choice about what happens in your body. Mm-hmm. And everyone should ask you before they do things. And I know that sounds like obvious, but it's not, unfortunately. It's like some doctors are very much like, oh, okay, I'm just here to check your cervix, like, and I'm without asking, break your water without asking. And not that people mean to do so intentionally. It's just kind of the way that we were taught. So definitely do some good childbirth education. Think about the things that you want and talk about it with your doctor ahead of time. So you know that you all are on the same page and that they support what you want and the hospital too. Some hospitals are better than others, more comfortable with low intervention or showers or tubs or birth balls and all of that kind of thing. So tour, really do your best to get that information ahead of time, because it's too late if you're figuring it out when you're in labor. Like right. If you're like, oh, I want to be able to move around, and then you go in the hospital and they're like, oh no, we strap everybody down, like you got to stay in the bed, then you're sort of stuck. A doula can be exceptionally helpful with this and helping you think through and talk through some of these things. So those are some things that I suggest, because although we have problems in the way our U.S. healthcare maternity system is, it can be paternalistic, it can take trying to take away women's power over what happens in their own bodies. It can be racist, all of those things. There are places where it is good. And so it's not all bad. You just maybe have to do some work to find those good places.
Excellent answer. Mm-hmm. I loved my doula. She was instrumental to me.
Yeah.
Especially beforehand, working everything out.
Yep.
If somebody were to go to their doctor and say, all right, this is what I would like. I'm wondering if I could have this birth plan. And they do roll their eyes. Do you
be like, peace. You need to find somebody else.
Yeah.
Your best option is to try and find somebody else. And you can change up until the very end. It gets harder, but you can change up until the very end. So try and find someone who's more supportive. That's where a doula can help you. Mm-hmm. They know some of the doctors in the area and things like that. So I'm trying to find somebody else. If you can't, then you really need to be ready to advocate for yourself. And you better have somebody with you who can advocate for you on your behalf, whether that's your partner, a doula, because when you're in the throes of labor, it's hard to kind of speak up potentially. So,
right. And that's why I tell everyone listening, I just had a friend who was pregnant over a couple of days ago. I gave her all my maternity clothes and she was like, I don't think I need a doula. I'll be able to do a good job. And I'm like, honey, you don't know the state you're going to be in.
Yeah. 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 And if your doula can't do it, then you need to have your partner who can speak up for you if need be. Hopefully you don't need to have to push and things like that, but you have to be prepared.
Just the little things like putting the ointment in the baby's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they do that? Is it if a woman has some kind of.
Yeah. So it's to prevent gonorrhea and chlamydia of the eye.
Right.
If you have tested negative for that, then you don't need to have it.
Right. But they also still do it.
They still, also, it's actually not that effective anymore in preventing gonorrhea or chlamydia, but yet it is still done.
Doc, I was in damn labor. Okay. And before the baby was there, they were asking me vitamin K shot. And mm-hmm. I believe there was one other shot and then the drops in the eye, the ointment. Mm-hmm. I said, no ointment.
Right.
And they go, no ointment. Are you sure? And I said, I don't have chlamydia. I don't have gonorrhea.
I'm good.
Yeah. And so they made me sign something that said, you are acknowledging that you are declining the stop, which I assume, again, is a protection in case I sue them because my baby has gonorrhea of the eyes now. Mm-hmm. But I was like, yeah, I'll sign it. It's crazy. They just, the stuff that is the standard care, you're saying you can say no to.
100%. Yes. I mean, you just have to, everyone just has to know, you have to know the data, know the evidence on things and make incisions from an informed perspective. Right. Like for instance, the vitamin K shot is actually, there's good evidence that that is useful and it's better than the oral version of vitamin K.
Yeah.
I have no idea why human beings are born deficient in vitamin K, but we are. Mm-hmm. And it can, if vitamin K deficiency can cause serious bleeding. So that one, I'm like, eh. The hepatitis B vaccine that's given at birth.
That was the other shot that I was. My
husband and I, we personally were like, no, because she's not going to be around anybody to get hepatitis B. So.
Right.
No, we believe in vaccines. We just didn't think she needed it right then. And I'm not telling people what to do.
This is what we're talking about. You know, before you get there, all of the things they're going to offer you and your baby and you know. And so again, this is why I want all my pregnant honeys to take a birth education class so that you know. And
you got to.
Yeah, I did the shot. I did the vitamin K and I do believe I did the hep B as well. Mm-hmm. But
and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that for us, we kind of spaced out the vaccines and this sort of thing that worked for us. And we had a pediatrician who was like, whatever, just
right.
So
they give them so many.
I know. It was always like, I can't, they, like five shots at a time. Or three.
My
like,
poor little buddy, he had four his last.
That's hard. That was always like, it wasn't so much like, was I worried for my chat, like I couldn't watch it. I was just like, this is
well, that's why, again,
me.
This also goes into pediatric care as well. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have to interview pediatricians. And if you're pregnant right now listening to this, you got to get on that. You got to start calling those pediatricians now and getting interviews on the books over Zoom because you need to find one that works for your family.
Yeah. 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 So there's lots of things that you need to educate yourself on. Circumcision is another one. I'm not even going, because that could be controversial. I don't even want to open that can of worms.
Yeah. About. You know what's interesting? So my husband is Jewish. We circumcise our son. But my OB was telling me that it's about half and half now.
Yeah.
It's getting kind of out. Yeah. It's really interesting. Yeah. Who knew?
Yep. But you just need to inform yourself, because if you don't, then things will just kind of happen to you.
Yes.
You know,
and all kinds of things can just happen to you.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Before you know it, somebody's saying, oh, you should be induced at 39 weeks. Not that there's anything wrong with being induced at 39 weeks, but you don't have to be.
Right.
If your pregnancy is uncomplicated, you don't have to. So it's just really getting educated about things. Oh, yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, doc, and I'm sure you see this with your patients there. I feel like there's two types of pregnant people. Obviously there's middle spectrum as well, but there's me, who read every book, took every class, took every note, asked every question, wanted to make sure I knew everything. And then there's the like really chill pregnant person. That's like, eh. And you know, listen, God bless you, 'cause I respect that. Read a couple books, right? Take one class, do something.
Yes.
Just so you know what's going on at the hospital.
Yeah, I would say most people now these days are more because of social media, that they know more, they're asking more. I think people are more into understanding what's happening to them and realizing that they should be involved participants in the process. So I think that there are fewer like who are just like, oh, I'm just sort of go with the flow, which I think is a good thing. You should be involved. Yes. In the process, but definitely read, prepare, know those things. It's a balance though, because you also have to understand that, again, it's unpredictable and birth cannot be planned. That doesn't mean you shouldn't prepare, because actually the planning helps you ride those waves a bit better. And so, you know, because you know what to expect, you know, some possibilities. So even if something is like, I'm surprised that this is happening, it's not completely foreign and like something that's unknown to you. And I think that makes a difference.
Yes, you're right. I'm telling you, postpartum, all the friggin' baby Instagram reels that contradicted each other, it was making me lose my mind.
Yeah.
So everybody be careful with your content choices. Yes.
Find a source that you can trust and that aligns with the things that are important to you. I know I like to consider myself an evidence-based, holistic approach. I'm going to present the data and help people make choices that work for them, for themselves, and not sway people another way. Because you do have some natural birth folks who are like, oh my God, I don't understand why you would get an epidural. Like, you don't need that, that you can do it. And that's fine. You can. But if you want an epidural, get an epidural.
Yes.
Do whatever works for you, not what somebody else tells you works for you.
It feels like you and I are on the very same page in terms of our ethos of this whole situation. So I would recommend you to be a good doctor.
Girl, I mean, I'm going to just go ahead and say I am.
Yes. Good choice for somebody like me and all of that.
I really want to support people in making the best decisions for themselves. I want them to know that I'm giving you information. I'm giving you the real deal. I'm not saying like you need a C-section because I got to go to a kid's birthday party or something.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I really am like, if I come to you with something, you know that I'm saying something that is in your best interest or in the best interest of your baby. And I like to say, I personally actually start from mom. There's a lot of focus on like, yes, we need to focus on baby, but the first piece is a healthy mom, including like mental health, feeling like you are part of the process. I think so many women, when they're unhappy with their birth experience and when they feel some trauma, it's often because they weren't involved. They had zero control over anything. And when you feel that people are happier, even if things didn't go exactly as they anticipated, it's because they were involved. They knew what was going on. It wasn't like things were happening just to them.
Right.
They were able to be a part of the process. Yeah.
Fabulous. And this also leads directly into my next question, which is, I can't imagine your schedule. The hours are long and insane.
Yeah.
Like you said, maybe you have a holiday party, you have your child's birthday, and then all of a sudden you get a call. Oh, so-and-so's in labor. Oh, so-and-so's crowning. Right. So-and-so's fully dilated. I mean, how do you have any semblance of a life with your career?
I do, because I actually only work in the hospital. So I have something called an OB hospitalist, where I do 24-hour shifts in the hospital at a time. I'm not in the office anymore.
I did this
just so I could have some bounce. Like today I'm off, but like tomorrow I work 24 hours. I work 24 hours on Friday, 24 hours on Sunday.
24 hours straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I often am able to get some sleep. Like I typically can get anywhere from 2 to 5 hours of sleep. I'm shaking my head.
I can't, but I'm a podcast host for a living. This is crazy.
I know what I'm getting into though. But then I know like today I'm off. So I like took my daughter to something this morning. I have that flexibility. So for me, I don't see people in the office. When I meet them, they're in labor. So I very quickly have to establish like, hey, here's who I am. What are the things you want for your birth? How can we best support you? All of those sort of things. So that's how I find balance.
But did you used to see patients?
Yeah, I did. I used to be in the office.
You had no semblance of a life then, right?
It was very difficult. My husband works from home, so he's able to do like the kids back and forth to school, because our girls are older now, they're 14 and 12, but he did that sort of stuff. But yeah, I was overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Like I was burning out. Like I was, remember standing at the coffee maker one day and coffee was just like pouring onto the floor. And I was just like, I can't.
You're like, I don't even have the bandwidth to clean this right now.
Yeah. And I also had no control like this. They would schedule 2 patients at a time, sometimes 3. And I'm like, I physically can't see 2 people at the same time. So why do you all keep doing this to me? And I was never good at cutting people off and stuff. So I would always be behind. Always. If you were having an appointment with me, you knew you could be waiting for an hour, because I wanted to give people the attention that I thought they deserved in the moment. And then I would be home doing charts late at night. So it just wasn't sustainable for me. So this, what I do now, works for me until we can fix our broken system where people can practice a bit better.
I'm telling you, my OB is young, and that's one of the reasons I chose her, is because what you mentioned, I'm like, she still isn't tired yet, you know? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe, I'd be sitting in the waiting room and I would come in and I'd be like, hi, I'm here to see Dr. B, you know, my appointment's at 12:20. And someone would come in and go, hi, I'm here to see Dr. B, my appointment's at 12:30.
Right.
They give her 10 minutes.
Yeah.
She's seeing me all day. And this is so important to me. This appointment is so important to me. I'm like, there are 50 other people in there with the same situation. And she's giving all of them her complete devoted attention. How exhausting. I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah. 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 So for me, I couldn't do it in a way that felt good for me. Like I just got burnt out. So now I just practice in the hospital and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. That's my old OB stopped delivering because she was like, I can't do it anymore. It's just my schedule and I'm missing my kids growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the opposite. She just sees patients
and
doesn't deliver.
Okay. Okay. See, we will work well together. See, because like she sees them in the office and that's how we are. Where at my hospital, we take care of all of the patients at night, typically at nights and on the weekends, even during the day to some extent. So the hospitalist team kind of takes over for folks in the hospital. And I should say, people know this going into it. Like it's not a secret when they show up that all of a sudden, where's my doctor? They know that it's going to be one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. How interesting.
Yeah. And I also work with midwives, which is delightful.
Yes, that is fun.
Yeah.
I keep saying I'm not going to have another kid, but I might. Let's be honest.
You never know. See, let me tell you what happens is after about, this is just my theory.
Yeah.
After about a year, something happens in your head and you're like, you know what? It really wasn't that bad.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it's like, here comes baby number two.
Well, my baby is 4.5 months old and mm-hmm. he's sleeping from 7 to 7.
Oh, so you're living good.
Living good now. But those first 3 months were the hardest 3 months of my entire life. And they felt at the time like a year.
Isn't that why when you hear people say maternity leave is a vacation, you want to slap the shit out of them?
Oh my God, no. And it wasn't long enough either.
Yeah, it's like, why would you say that? Because it's very, like, you sit up at 2 o'clock in the morning holding this little baby. Like, I don't understand why you won't just...
Yeah, it's been rough. It's been real rough. What a journey.
It is a journey.
I'm still nursing, so
okay.
I'm tethered to my child still every 3 hours. And difficult.
Like, your whole life.
Yes.
For the time you are breastfeeding. And I don't want to be dramatic, but it really revolves around your breast.
Yes.
Can I go to dinner? Well, what time do I got to pump?
Oh, everything. Yeah. Even going on a meeting. Yeah.
Everything is around when, what are these doing? What are your breasts doing?
Yes.
And I'm not, we don't want to like scare anybody but that's just sort of the reality that you have to plan for.
And yet again, we're tough and we deal with mm-hmm. it. Because that's what we do. We're tough and we rise to the occasion.
Absolutely. And it's a joy. It's hard, but honestly, it's a cliche, but you will blink your eyes and then they will be.
I know.
Like my little preemie, my little 3-pound,
7-ounce
baby is 5'7" and in 10th grade. You know, it just goes by so fast. So.
I've been filming on my phone when I nurse sometimes because I'm like, I've had a really emotionally tough time with it. It's actually getting a lot easier now.
Okay.
This deep in, I'm like, it's quick. He's in, he's out. It's working.
Right.
It's great.
Right.
But I was filming him the other day because I'm like, someday I'm going to like miss this. I feel like I already am.
You know, when you look back at those, I'm glad you're doing that because you will look back at those very fondly and be like, wow, like look how far we've come.
Yes.
Look where things were. Yeah. So that's wonderful.
I would love to know some self-care practices, Dr. Rankins. Some things that you do that make you you, that help you get through your 24-hour days of work. Some of your favorite things to do that are non-negotiables for you.
Sure. So I try to do meditation mm-hmm. 3 to 4 times a week. I have a Peloton, and mm-hmm. so I have the Peloton app, which has great meditations in it. So I do meditation. I try to move my body in some way. So
who's your Peloton instructor of choice?
I like Kirsten Ferguson on the tread. Like I don't have the bike. I have the tread.
Because I only know the bike people.
Gotcha. Yeah. She's one of the tread people. So I like her on the tread for yoga. I do a lot of yoga. Mm-hmm. Yoga helps me a lot to kind of like slow things down. And I like the challenge of moving my body in different ways, especially nearing 50. I feel proud of myself for the things that I can do. And I journal. I do journal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I journal. That's another one for me. And I just try to give myself, therapy. Did I say therapy? Therapy also helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And just give myself some grace. Like I have little signs that say control. Like this one says control. That notes to myself. This one says control what I can't control. So I can, you know, I can't control the things I can't control. This one says let go of unhealthy thought patterns. So those are little self-care things that I incorporate into my day. And then just also being comfortable with like saying yes to things and saying no to things
mm-hmm.
is also important in terms of my big picture.
I'm so honored that you are here with me today because, again, my initial thought was, well, a doctor has something way better to be doing than talking to me. So, again, you said yes to me, so I'm honored.
No, stop. You're so sweet. I love, you know, talking to people. I could talk about birth, like, in my sleep, and it's something that I'm really passionate about is helping people have the experience that they deserve. Part of that is my own, like, evolution as a doctor. Like I said, like the moment that it really clicked, I had a patient one time who I asked, was it okay if I checked her cervix? And she asked me back, do I have a choice? And I was just like, oh my God, yes, you have a choice in what happens in your body. Like that is so important.
But you know what's crazy is that some doctors would probably say, no, you don't.
And that is wrong.
Right.
That is wrong.
How can we fix this, doc? Do you have any perspective? You were saying earlier.
Yeah. So I have a couple. Well, I think change happens fast because the medical system on average studies show, this is embarrassing, but it takes 17 years for practice to change. Wow. So it takes a long time. I believe it changes faster when women demand something different. So like you're saying, how women are like, hey, I've been doing my education. I've been doing my reading. Here's what I see. And doctors are being forced to change because of what women are doing. So I think that is really, really important. That's part of why I provide information to help empower women to make that change. And then the other piece is that we have to change within the system. For me, it was always a little bit like, it was hard for me to speak up in spaces and say, y'all, we ain't doing this right. Like we need to stop this. But now the flip side of what I do is like in professional spaces, I speak up and say, hey, we can't do this. So I think that we also, those of us in the system who know that we need to do better, have to speak up. So both things have to happen.
That makes perfect sense. Because if there was a man doctor, let's just call him a boomer doctor. He's not keeping up. Slowly but surely, all the patients are going to go, well, we don't want to work with you, buddy.
Boom. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Do either of your girls show an acumen from the medical profession? Are they interested? No.
Not even a little bit. They're like, no, what you do is gross.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you just never know what they're going to be.
You never know. And I didn't know I was going to be a doctor. Although I think my older one, the way she runs her mouth, she's going to be a lawyer. Like she can't not be, because that girl will argue something to the last.
Yes.
Like
that is so funny.
Sentence. So yes.
Did they start showing these personality traits very early on? Because I really think my son is going to be in the music, is going to be musical.
It's amazing how they are when they're little is how they are when they get older. It's just like bigger versions that can talk. Like my younger one was always very stubborn and set in her ways, and she is still the same. Like she didn't talk until she felt like she was ready. Like I knew she was understanding what I was saying, but she just was like, I'm not saying anything because I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Okay. But you will be amazed. Watch over the years. You will see how they are when they are little is so much of how they are when they get older. Yeah.
What about Dr. Rankins? Right when the baby comes out, can you already see a personality of a baby, or are they all pretty much the same?
They're all in the beginning pretty much the same. They're all like, what the hell just happened to me? I was just in this nice environment, which is why I think the room should be like kind of dim and sort of, because like it's a lot. Like think about it. There's a reason probably why we don't remember that experience,
right? Because you're getting those lights. They put these giant lights on me, spotlights.
I don't like the spotlights. I use them if I have to in order to like see to repair something. But before that, I'm like, can we not have all the goddamn lights on? Because it's too much. It's too bright. But yeah, I think they come out and they're like, what's going on? What's here? They really do, though, immediately like connect with their mom. Like they know that is the person who is their person.
Yeah.
You know, they will settle down when, you know, they they try to snuggle towards the breast if they're hungry, you know? So
That's what my little buddy did. He started, he latched, latched so fast. It was so beautiful.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't keep you much longer because I said I would get you out of here and you're a busy lady. But my last question is, tell us about your monthly membership. Because I feel this could be really helpful for anyone listening who's pregnant.
Okay. Well, see, Jack, here's the thing. I started a monthly membership and then realized that this is something that I cannot do with my current schedule and life and things. So unfortunately, I had to close it.
Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah. No. But let me tell you, there are other places that people can. And that was a lesson for me because I had done all this stuff. I had put it out there. It was out for maybe like a couple months. And I was like, this was not the right decision for me. I have to suck it up and tell people, like, here's your money back, or here's, you know. So again, me being my authentic self, which I think I'm proud of, saying like, hey, I made a mistake here. Unfortunately, this is something that I can't do. I have aging parents, all of this kind of thing. Right. So anyway, so I don't, but I do have, come check me out on my podcast. I have lots of great information there. I'm so proud of it. It's been downloaded almost 1.5 million times, which is crazy to me to think about it. So folks can come check me on my podcast. I also have a childbirth education class as well.
So. Oh, wonderful. So for everybody out there looking, we could go to you.
Yep, they can. They can.
The All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. Talk about just putting it out there what it is. There's no question with that title.
So I have three specific types of episodes. And so I do birth stories. The reason I do birth stories is because that it's so important for women to hear other stories of women giving birth. Like, I just feel like you learn from it. It's just so, so powerful and impactful. Like the vlogs, they're fine, but I think there's something about when somebody has some time to reflect on their experience and then come back to it and talk about it. So I do birth stories. And for me, I have to say selfishly, it's a window that I don't get to see. Like, I get to see me as the doctor and the birth experience, but I love hearing it from the other perspective. It's made me a better doctor to understand and hear those stories. So I do birth stories, which
honestly, your stories run the gamut. You've got all the C-sections, the vaginal, the C-section, at home. You have
vaginal,
all of it.
Everything.
Midwives.
Midwives. Yes, everything. I am intentional about trying to cover all different types of stories. As a matter of fact, today I recorded a story. It's not going to air for a while. It's somebody who had postpartum psychosis, which was... Yes.
I truly felt on the verge of that a few times myself.
I mean, it's
so
serious.
I can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah. So that was like really, so I try to cover everything. And then I interview people on the podcast as well. So, and I try to, again, get all different types of people. Like I had someone, a pharmacist recently who does things with hormones. I've had a birth photographer, breastfeeding. I try to get out of the box, sort of. I've had someone come on who talks about who this is actually one of the most popular episodes, how to have your baby and your dog get along after birth. Mm-hmm. So all different. So I have interviews.
And I've had issues with that myself.
Okay. See, yeah. And then I have solo episodes where I just talk about topics. Like I just had an episode on the placenta. Next week's episode, I'm probably going to do an episode on induction, labor induction coming up. So that is the podcast. That is my baby, the heart, soul. I just love doing it and providing that great information for folks.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work, because we need more education in this space. We need more accessible, helpful, approachable information. So Dr. Reagans, thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And all my listeners who are saying, I want to gobble up that content. Now we have a full podcast for you to go check out. Dr. Nicole Rankins, the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. Check it out. And I will be on there soon.
You will indeed. And I'm also on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins, where I do post there and information there too.
There you go. Well, it's been a pleasure to meet you over the computer.
Yes.
Where are you again?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia. So okay, I'm on the other side of the country.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody go see her in Richmond, Virginia.
Come check me out. Yes.
And check out her show. I'll be on it soon. And
you will indeed.
Thank you, Dr. Rankins, for being here with me.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Yes. Let's chat more. I'm going to bother you now all the time.
I'm here.
Okay, excellent. Maybe I'll you can do a check on me. I'll just get this camera down here.
Listen, okay, people do send me like family, friends. People ask me stuff all the time. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you go to medical school.
It does.
We want to get a free opinion. Well, thank you, Dr. Rankins, and thank you for listening, everybody. You deserve to be happy. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Don't forget to cream your neck. Keep your fringe fresh. Dr. Rankins, do you cream your neck?
What is that? What does that mean? Does it literally mean just like moisturize my neck? Now I feel old. Now I feel like I'm my age. Yeah, girl, because I don't want the face looking good and then the neck looking like...
Yes.
So yeah, I keep it all the way. Yeah.
I tell everybody, your neck is your face.
Yeah. Yes.
There you go. She creams her neck. I mean, there's not. I have nothing to teach you.
You can teach me something.
I don't know. We didn't talk about skincare. You'll have to come back and I'll have to tell you all about serum if you want.
All right. I love it.
Do you ever use oil on people when you're stretching them?
Yeah, olive oil.
Olive oil. That's what my sister, they use that on my sister. My doctor said she used mineral oil on me.
Some people do use mineral oil, but we just use olive oil. Don't let anybody use soap. Don't because that can be irritating. And I try to stay away from too much gel. I think olive oil works great.
You just go to Trader Joe's and get a bottle of that EVOO and just pour that on.
We get it. And then the nurses draw it up in syringes and we just have the syringes of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay. I'm hitting stop. What else is there to say?